From the good life in Lincoln, Nebraska, this is the Stop Chasing, Start Living show, where together we dig into the world of faith and finances to discover how God wants so much more for us than we could ever ask or imagine. I'm your host, Scott Ernstmeyer, so let's start living. I'd like to welcome back our listeners to another episode of Stop Chasing, Start Living. My name is Scott Ernstmeyer. I have the joy and privilege of serving as your host for this show. And if you're with us last time, we had an opportunity to sit down with Chris Shadle, a really good friend of mine who's also a financial planner. And we had a chance to mutually commiserate and also be joyful around the whole idea of weddings and how in the world to pay for weddings. And really enjoyed Chris sharing his perspective as a father of a groom that just recently had a wedding. And then by the time this show drops, I'll have a couple of weeks in my rearview mirror on the father of the bride and all that goes into a wedding weekend. So pretty excited, just what we had a chance to share there. And just a reminder, this show is all about faith and finances and where God's taken us in life, so those things that maybe compete for our attention, and ultimately what God wants for us as we navigate life together. And today, really excited to jump into the topic of kids and our young learners, and how we could be as intentional as we can, both as parents, as mentors, maybe aunts, uncles, grandparents, whatever vocation role you might have in the world of the kids around you, how do we share with them about things like money and stewardship? And, they're learning all the time. And so I'm really excited to have the opportunity to talk about that today. And it may be even more so as the father of somebody that's launching three daughters out of the house. It's like, what did I forget to teach? So excited about the topic today. Just super thankful to be joined by Shannon Meyer. She's one of our teachers here at Messiah, teaches first grade. So a lot of great experience there with the littles. And I really wanted that, like, how do you get into this topic for kind of some of our younger kids as we think about how we're wired, the things that compete with our attention, and how do we teach kids about stuff? And so I'm super excited for her to be on the show today. Shannon, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
Well, it's awesome for you to be here. And I'd like you to just start off by sharing with the listeners a little bit about your background, really about your family and some of your professional experiences that brought you here today.
Okay, yeah. My husband, Jim, and I have been married for 22 years.
Awesome.
And we have four wonderful children. Casey and Caleb attend the University of Nebraska in Lincoln. Caleb, our oldest, is majoring in finance.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, in business. And Casey is a freshman, and she's majoring in nursing.
Oh, well, that's great.
Yeah. And then Chance, he'll be 15 soon, and he's a sophomore at Lincoln Lutheran.
Okay.
And then we have our 8-year-old daughter, Charlotte, who is in third grader here at Messiah.
Okay, so you've got a pretty good spread that you're kind of navigating as mom and dad.
Yeah. Oh, yes, for sure.
Yeah.
As far as teaching experience, this is my 11th year, the beginning of my 11th year teaching here at Messiah.
Wow, that's awesome.
Most of it's been first grade, but 1 year of kindergarten, so that was fun. But I've been in the teaching ministry going on just about 25 years, teaching in states like the Chicago area, the Detroit area, Fort Wayne, Indiana, and just recently for Messiah, Nashville, Tennessee.
Okay, so some pretty cool metro areas
in that bag
of tricks. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, as we dig in today, as we kind of start every show, I think it's always important for us to kind of give some thought around our own kind of personal backgrounds, and because our own money story matters as we get a chance to interact with others and share and those kinds of things. And I think that's sometimes where it's most accessible, kind of learning from other people. And I would love for you to share with our listeners a little bit about maybe your experiences growing up with money, and then like as you and Jim got married and kind of got into the parenthood thing and tried to figure out like what's our family going to look like. How did budgeting, money, all those things, how did they find their way into the space of that marriage?
So growing up, I feel like my first experiences with money really honestly is what I can remember from being really little at church. Mm. My parents were very heavily involved in church things, mm-hmm. altar guild for my mom and Bible studies. Oh, yeah. My dad was an elder, youth group leader.
Oh, wow.
Sometimes, but similar to like the LLB, mm-hmm. A representative of that.
The old church councils.
The church council. Oh, yeah. Yep, that's what it was. Yeah. And, you know, they really made sure that my brother Brian and I really knew what giving back to Jesus was. Mm. I mean, my very first memory of that is my dad would always, or my mom would always give me a quarter, mm. right, when the offering plate would come by, yep. and I always would put the quarter in, mm-hmm. and they always remind me that was giving to Jesus. Mm. And
a physical chance to participate.
Yeah,
in that.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that memory was probably when I was like 3 years old.
Oh, wow.
But also not just putting that physical quarter in was important, but also just whatever we have is we always give back to Jesus and we always help others to give back to Jesus. Mm. And so that was really important for them for us to know.
Yeah.
And they modeled that through, as we got older, I saw them giving, weekly, putting their envelopes with their checks in there. Mm-hmm. Also praying about giving to, church projects, mm-hmm. like sometimes campaigns yep. to grow ministries, to grow schools mm-hmm. of where we were in Chicago area and the Detroit, Michigan mm-hmm. area.
Yeah.
But they also just made sure that we also knew that giving grows ministry, but also time and mm-hmm. talents grows mm-hmm. ministry
Absolutely.
Too. So that's also an act of worship.
Yeah.
So going into our marriage, Jim grew up very different. Mm-hmm. He didn't grow up going to church.
Gotcha.
He ended up learning about Jesus when he went to Concordia, Chicago
oh, that's cool.
to play football.
Yeah.
And so, but he always knew that growing up, he didn't have much as a kid, that he always needed to trust, and he also always needed to work hard.
Mm-hmm.
So having that background and then having my background, we had a lot to mesh.
Yeah, yeah.
So in the beginning, it was a challenge
yeah.
at first, but we wanted to make goals, and we tried, and we gave ourselves grace.
Mm-hmm.
There was mistakes along the way. But I think the ultimate thing that we learned as a couple and that our kids learned is that we needed to trust.
Mm-hmm.
Giving to the Lord is, you're trusting him.
Yep.
Especially with your money.
Amen.
You know, I think that is so hard
yep.
to do sometimes.
Yep.
And it was hard at the beginning of our marriage. But once we committed to that and stuck with it.
Mm-hmm.
And even when we didn't have a lot, we still committed to give. And either if it was to like a project,
mm-hmm.
such as a church campaign or to our offering, we still tried to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And God really blessed us with that.
Mm-hmm.
There was times where we still gave in faith, and it was amazing what God did, whether it was money coming back through a gift from a family member or something happened in ministry where there was extra money and the church workers were able to get more
right.
back, you know,
yeah,
or just,
yeah.
or was given a gift to us.
Mm-hmm.
It took a long time. It
mm-hmm.
took a long time for that. But so, you know, that was where our journey started.
Mm-hmm.
And then we took that of what we learned. And we had three little ones at the time.
Mm.
You know, we had kids really early on. We had Caleb right when we were, I think we were married for 2 years.
Okay.
And Casey,
yeah.
well, we had 19 months later.
Wow,
so
yep.
we had two little ones, and then Chance came, and they were constantly watching us.
Mm-hmm.
So it was important to show them and model to them that we were trying our best,
yeah.
and this is what we were going to do, and we encouraged them to put little coins into
mm-hmm.
the offering, too, and
yeah.
and just model.
Yep. I think sometimes even today, you know, that opportunity to take part in that physical act, and we've talked a little bit about this on the show in the past, it's, you know, so much giving today is electronic or we're not passing plates anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard, I think, sometimes from a modeling perspective, you almost have to be intentional in a different way to pull your kids into that, mm-hmm. into that rhythm.
Yeah.
You know, in our church, we've got generosity boxes in the Great Hall that you have to intentionally go visit either in going into or coming back out of church. And,
right.
If you're not going to give electronically. And then if you are giving electronically, that's another point of separation yeah. where it's even further. So yeah, that whole opportunity to, be able to show your kids what you're doing mm-hmm. is a little tougher. It's a little harder to access that today in a lot of the churches, mm-hmm. that are around us. And so I'm interested as you think about kind of when kids learn and when these kinds of things, really start impacting them, like what age, you know, you teach, you know, pretty little ones, you mm-hmm. know, first grade, they're really kind of digging into reading and kind of figuring out the writing thing and, you know, a lot of language stuff happening. Like, what age do kids, do you think, start picking up on this? And when is it important to have that teaching become a little more tangible?
Mm-hmm. So I guess I'd start off like my perspective as a mom. Mm-hmm. I feel like kids learn about some type of money concepts at an early age. Children are, and I'm sure you remember this from your daughters, they're very observant mm-hmm. and they're constantly watching their parents as what they do and they go along about their daily life and they mimic that.
They do.
And so I feel like parents of little ones, if they're constantly modeling the act of giving and receiving and love, it's just a very basic, mm-hmm. pretty much money skill and yeah. then sharing with others. Like, I was thinking back to, when Caleb was a baby, he was 19 months old and, my dad brought him to the hospital to see Casey that was just born. And for some reason he was so fascinated by the quarters that were in my dad's cup holder. And of course, his papa gave him a quarter. I wouldn't have. But he came into that hospital room, and he was so proud of it. And he wanted, and I actually have a picture of it in my house. Mm. He wanted so much to share that treasure that his papa gave him with his baby sister.
Oh my goodness.
That was just born. And he was giving it to Casey, and he said, I love you.
Oh,
and
wow.
Here's some money.
There we go. Know?
And so, and for a 19-month-old, a year and a yeah. half-year-old to yeah. understand that he just knew that he really didn't know what money was.
Sure.
But he just knew that his papa loved him, gave him a gift,
and he wanted to
share it with yeah. his sister, you know,
yeah, that's pretty love. Special. And I think about kids, too. It's like one of the first words they learn is mine.
Yes, yes.
And like, part of me as a parent like wants to know, how did they learn that word?
Uh-huh.
Like, where does that come from?
Yeah.
Because like, you try to think about your own marriage relationship. Like, is that a word we use in our house all the time is mine? But boy, the number of kids are like, you know, they want to pull that toy away and
yes.
the whole idea of possessing something and mm-hmm. ownership in it versus, you know, the idea of giving something away and wanting to bless somebody with that. You
yeah.
know, you don't see that with really young kids.
No, you don't. You know, and I feel like, you know, the more we model that. Now, Jim and I are not perfect parents,
mm-hmm, sure.
and he was our first, so I'm sure we made lots of mistakes. Mm-hmm. But I think just modeling that to your children, mm-hmm. Just giving and sharing, mm-hmm. And trusting, building yeah. that trust mm-hmm. with your kids, because I really feel that with trusting God with your life and your gifts and your talents and your treasures, it all comes back to relationship.
Mm.
And when we let go and let God, mm-hmm. we are saying, hey, we're vulnerable. And
yep.
we want to dive in deeper with that relationship with Jesus.
Yep.
And that takes a lot of trust, as it would with anybody, mm-hmm. you know, having a relationship,
yep.
a friendship, a marriage, and family relationships, and even working relationships.
Yeah, you think about modeling to kids. The whole idea of trust, when you really get in that space in a very healthy way, it finds its tentacles into how you interact with all of life in mm-hmm. terms of the highs and the lows, the stressful times, et cetera. You know, our kids are watching how we respond to those things.
Yes.
And when there's a level of trust in God as the almighty designer, the provider, and then even being able to articulate that and verbalize that when you're hitting a hard time in life, versus when that stress hits a ceiling and maybe we blow up or those kinds of things, our kids are watching those things.
Oh, yeah.
How are you dealing with those? I had a perfectly great example of this last night, and it's just, you know, God is God for a reason and I am who I am for a reason. But I had a hard time falling asleep last night because of some responsibilities I have in my role here at church, and literally had a very early morning conversation that God kind of tapped me on the shoulder and said, I've got this. Can you please stop worrying about it? You know, and it was just a really good reminder of me, to me, of like, God's in charge.
Yeah.
And when I try to take charge back, mm-hmm. I'm actually putting myself in a vulnerable position, really, with how Satan tends to work in terms of like attacking us in those weak moments or getting us to doubt and all those kinds. So just an amazing skill to be able to teach our kids. What does it mean to trust?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, definitely to be still and listen to God is so important. And that took me a long time to understand. I think back, you know, going back to the classroom, we have Bible study every day, and then we have chapel on Wednesdays. And I think that's where the application comes in, is our Bible studies. We read stories in our Bible study books, and the underlining the theme of that all is God's promises. And it's God's promise to love us. We are His. We are special. So much so that He sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins. And there's nothing, nothing that anybody can do to take that gift away from us. And so we read these stories, and we look at people in the Bible, great examples of His people trusting Him. And we, you know, coming up shortly, we're going to be talking about Noah and how much Noah had to trust.
Oh, man, for sure.
100 years. There was no water around, but yet he was supposed to build this big, huge ark and fill it with animals. I'm sure he was ridiculed. And so we talk about how Noah responded out of love, and he gave all that he had. And then we kind of go back to their own life. You know, how does that apply? You know, when things go wrong at home, we still need to trust. We still need to trust that God's going to provide and that He loves us. And I feel like the kids understand that and believe that more than us adults. And I say that. And they said, you know, you guys, Jesus says that faith of a child is so strong. And I encourage them to go home and share that message with their parents. If mom and dad are having a rough time, if they seem worried, you know, just ask him for a hug.
God's got this.
Yes, you know? God's got this. And me as a mom, when my kids tell me that, they're like, Mom, stop worrying. Yeah. God's got this.
Yeah.
And boy, does that wake me up.
Yeah.
You know, and so not only do we model to our kids, but our kids model back.
They
mirror back what we're modeling to them.
Well, and it's probably one of the blessings. I know we're seeing anxiety and things like that creep to lower and lower ages with our kids, because they're exposed to more and more with media and devices and all that kind of stuff. They're learning things now at an age where maybe previously they weren't necessarily learning some things and about the world and all the noise. But there's a blessing in that age that you get to work with, where you do to some degree get that level of innocence where there is less competing for that emotion for a young person, from the perspective of, you know, things that cause us as adults to get stressed out. To your point, we can learn a lot from that perspective of a child or a young person.
Yeah. And because they're so young and they're sponges, they take in everything. They're observing, they're taking in, they're processing. I feel like when they're little, to establish those rhythms of caring and receiving and giving and trusting in the Lord and praying with your kids, to establish those things now. And I feel like that will bear fruit later.
I think as a parent too, it's kind of like, you know, in what ways might I feel like, I need to be more prepared for teaching my children? Like, what are the things that are really, really important in my own rhythms and my own walk? And really it's recognizing maybe those patterns where you're not in a healthy space and knowing that, man, if I don't figure out a way to address this, to step in and make sure that I'm, I'm having healthy responses to things. Mm-hmm. You know, those kids are sponges and they pick up on our anxiety.
Oh,
like
yeah.
Our kids, they see that in us. They care and love us and are worried about us. Mm-hmm. And like they absorb some of those things. And so, you know, to whatever degree we can really do our best to stay in healthy spaces. And then we're certainly all going to go through seasons where it's better or worse and whatnot. But just that reminder that we do have eyes watching, mm-hmm. and there's an opportunity for us in all situations to really be good teachers.
Yeah.
Without even using words a lot of the time.
Sure. Yeah. And also there's grace in that too.
Yeah.
You know, we strive to be the best parents that we can, but because of those outside forces of just like stress and work and having a relationship with our spouse, mm-hmm. you know, that creeps in. And I have found with my journey over the years is that more I dive deep in my prayer life, mm-hmm. with the Lord and get into Bible study, that has changed so much. That has changed who I am. It's helped me to trust the Lord more. Mm-hmm. And when I feel like I'm fully trusting in the Lord and seeking His peace, my whole body language, it just oozes out of me.
Yeah.
And then I think that, you know, then shines out onto our kids. And mm-hmm. and also just to be honest, you know, when you make mistakes, say, I'm sorry, I messed up today.
Sometimes it's really hard to do,
yeah,
but it's very, very healing when we do those things.
Yeah. And I feel like that's good for kids to say, hey, you know, mom and dad mess up too, but they know that they can go and talk to Jesus and ask for forgiveness and talk to us too. And ask for forgiveness there too.
And to your point, how we fill ourselves is how we then fill into others. And so when we are drinking deeply of the Spirit, mm-hmm. and whether that's through prayer or through scripture or all of the above, good, you know, healthy relationships with others, that positions us to overflow into the lives of those around us. And mm-hmm. And yet that's kind of one of Satan's strategies, is to get us spinning over here and over there and not let the Spirit grab hold like the Spirit's able to when we spend time with the Lord, when we make that a very intentional part of our lives. And that's, again, a very tangible skill and skill set to be teaching our children.
Right, yeah. I mean, it's hard in our world today where everybody says, you're in control, mm-hmm. but it's what you want.
Yeah.
Have it your way.
Yeah.
That's contrary to what God says. It's God's way, you know, and when we start focusing less on ourselves, and that comes when we're trusting the Lord, that the Lord has it, mm-hmm. and we start serving outwardly, I feel like then that focus is off on us, mm-hmm. and I feel like we're able to trust more.
Yes, for sure.
And even with money, you know, the world says the money is yours. The money is there for the taking.
Go get more of it.
Go get more of it. Yeah. And so much our world says our worth is based on the money we make, the things that we have, keeping up with the Joneses. And if we live in that as parents, that's so much pressure. Mm-hmm. And, but if we say, Lord, I know you have a plan for me. I know that you will meet my needs. Then I feel like it's easier to give up that control. And sometimes I felt tested, mm-hmm. you know, throughout my life and saying, you know, there was not a lot of stuff, funds to go around, but God's still challenging me to trust Him and to give not only in time and talent, but in treasure.
Yeah.
Because that just shows He's in the driver's seat.
Yeah, for
He's
sure.
in control.
Well, and I think as parents, when we think about, you know, just the different experiences we're trying to let our kids see into and experience over the years, you know, sometimes I think even as middle class America, we feel like, we just don't have many resources. We're chasing paycheck to paycheck. And so, you know, what skills are we teaching our kids in that space versus maybe the family that's super affluent and can be going on 4 or 5 trips every year if they wanted to, just because the resources were there and, you know, have the latest gadgets, whatever those things are. Money in and of itself, those resources in of themselves aren't bad things. But as parents, we have to figure out, like, how do we want our kids to learn how to navigate through those things?
Right.
Do we want our kids to always have everything they want? Do we want to teach our kids the value of hard work and having to appreciate those things that we've had to work hard to get? Or maybe even the perspective of, you know, what does it look like to be a person of affluence? Or, you know, really in America, we're all fairly affluent when you look at the world. Mm-hmm. But then exposing our kids to, like, what does poverty really look like? What does not having much really look like? And sometimes how does that, like, what can we learn from somebody who maybe lives in a situation where they don't have a lot, and yet they have all this joy. They have this just love of life and a simplicity to their world that sometimes those of us that are chasing all the things don't have that simplicity. So there's just so many different opportunities to teach our kids values and it doesn't always have to be about, well, here's something to spend money on. There's a lot of other things that they could learn.
Yeah. And I feel like the more we expose our kids to different situations, like serving in our community, here at Messiah School, we provide many opportunities for our kids to serve and, not only give offering, at chapel, but to, give money at Christmas time to various organizations that each class sponsors that serve others in the community. But it's not just a act of giving, but also to help them understand and be aware why these organizations that we're giving to are serving these people. And even just encouraging kids to serve others, like serving their neighbors, you know, can you help them pick up their leaves? You know, can you help me at home? You know, getting them to serve.
Giving that giving heart.
Yeah. Giving heart. Yeah. You know, and then as they grow older, I mean, our kids, two of our kids are in college now, and, we always gave them little jobs to do. And when they were in high school, they had jobs as well.
Yep.
And we had goals for them. Mm-hmm. You know, they worked hard. Mm-hmm. They had to pay for half their car.
Yeah.
You know? And so, and I, you know, probably we could have paid for their car, but I know, and looking back, they've even told me that they were so glad that we had them do that because they were proud.
Yeah. And they got skin in the game.
Yeah. And they have skin in the game. And they're taking care of their things. And I think those are valuable lessons. So often today, the world says to the kids, we need it now. Everything's so instantaneous, you know? And sometimes we have to be patient. And that's hard, especially when kids get everything, you know, immediately with their devices and things like that. And that's, you know, that, so making them wait, making them save up for things, I think is an invaluable lesson, even if they don't have to.
Yep.
I think there's good in making them work.
Amen. Well, you made me think of, in our staff meeting today, we read some scripture in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, and this chapter kind of gets about kind of the new covenant and being released to this new gospel and what Jesus has done in our lives. And, you know, what does that look like for us as Christians as we get a chance to share that? And, you know, to some degree, that's what we're talking about here. It's like, what are you sharing about God with our children? In this case, maybe in the topic of money, but it really ends up being all of life. And you talked about that simplicity that kids have, especially the age that you get to teach, where it's like, life's a little simpler for them, because there's not as many things competing for their hearts. Mm-hmm. You know, we're just helping them understand their love, their value, those kinds of things. And there's a little less noise with the world. And, in verse 17, it reads, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." And as we read that passage today, it just really struck me. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to have this freedom from what the world's yuck, the yuck of the world. He wants us to be free from that.
Yeah.
And I think how we teach our kids about things like stuff, when we give them a healthy perspective on those things, we're actually bringing a sense of freedom, especially in that trusting space, a sense of freedom into their lives. We're like, hey, I'm not tied to that.
No.
I don't care about that as much maybe as maybe my friends do or whatever else. Because like, I get there's a bigger picture to this whole thing. I know God's in charge and I'm not worried about chasing that or whatever it might be. There's such a blessing and joy that our kids can find in that space to be molded in shape as a healthy young adult and into adulthood.
Yeah. In the classroom, we talk about earthly treasures and heavenly treasures. Mm-hmm. And earthly treasures will not last. We talk about their Christmas lists, and they have all these things. And I know my kids have always said, if only I would have this, Mom, I would never ask again. Right. And then they get it. Yeah. Let's say they get it. And sometimes my kids would. And then there's the next Christmas.
Yeah.
And I say to the kids, but do you have another list at Christmas? Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, yeah. And I said, but I remember my kids saying, if only, yeah. You know, and so those things break, mm-hmm. but what never breaks is the heavenly treasures,
yeah.
You know, being in God's word, remembering his promises, mm-hmm. You know, the feeling that you get when you serve others, mm-hmm. and the look on their face when they're so thankful, mm-hmm. you know, those are the things that we want to instill in our kids.
Yeah.
And earthly things are great.
Sure.
But when we share those resources, when yeah. they're over in abundance, I really feel like that's the lesson learned.
When we try to find our identity in those things,
yeah.
like I have the cooler thing than my classmates, or you know, however that plays out in terms of how we pursue, our identity is in the wrong place. Mm-hmm. And what you just described to me, or what I was thinking about as you're talking there, it's like when our identity is in Christ and we're living that out and how we treat people and how we value ourselves and how we think about life and yeah. and how we have an opportunity. You know, God put us all on this earth for a reason.
Right.
And it's like, what's your reason? Mm-hmm. You know, what's your opportunity to be the only you that there is?
Right.
And what impact are you going to have on the world? There's such a blessing to be able to live in this space where we understand how God loves us and how we can lean and live into that and not have to be just bounced around by all the noise of the
right.
world.
Yeah. And I think kids grasp that easily. But we as parents, it's a little harder, you know.
And, AKA me not being able to sleep last night.
Yeah, yeah. And me too. Oh my gosh, me too. And I have to always remind myself when I worry, especially like financial things mm-hmm. or if we're going to be able to provide, yeah. you know, all the things. Our kids are in college
yes,
now and me
yes.
too still.
Yep.
One at Lincoln Lutheran, one here at yep. Messiah. But I have to remind myself that God has got us to this mm-hmm. point. And all that we have is a blessing and it could go away just
yeah.
like that.
Yeah.
But I know it's not a punishment.
Yep.
It's because God has something better
yep.
for us. Years ago, when we were in Michigan, when I was serving there, I was a small group leader. Yep. And our whole congregation had done a Bible study. It was called Not a Fan. And it was based on the story of Matthew, the tax collector.
Mm.
And it talked about this guy who... just all of a sudden, he had everything. He had the house. He had the cars. He had the status and variety. And one day, things changed for him because his relationship with Christ changed.
Mm.
And he just gave it all away.
Mm-hmm.
And it was hard. Mm. And there was a movie with it and everything. And it just talked about how it changed the relationship with his wife and him and his kids. And they didn't understand why he was doing this.
Yeah,
but
what
then
is happening here?
Eventually they came to realize that he was right.
Mm.
That's not all what they need. That's not where their identity is.
Yeah.
It's in Christ. And praise God that yeah. he had found that, you know. And then they had questions that how would it apply to
yeah.
our lives. And boy, that was life-changing.
Yeah.
And I always have to remember that, to go back to that.
That's a really hard space in today's world with all the noise to even get into that world mentally, just with what the world's telling us to do. We had this shared in a sermon here in the last month and a half, and it was, you know, this whole idea of identity. You know, Scottie Scheffler is the best golfer in the world. And he's literally saying in a press conference, like, why do I care so much about golf? And he was really trying to get at the fact that at the end of the day, it doesn't matter in the big picture.
Yeah.
I am who I am in Christ.
Yeah.
That's what matters. And it was just this very simple sports analogy and narrative around life. It's like all these things we chase that our kids start soaking in and want to start chasing. None of it matters.
No.
Not in our relationship with Jesus and the bigger picture of life and what he wants for us for eternal life.
Yeah.
And yet, that's how we're almost wired as human beings
yeah.
is to chase whatever it is our hook. You know, for some people it's money, for some people it's fame or popularity or whatever those things are. And that's that really unhealthy space. And I think that's frankly where some of the anxiety and those kinds of things for our kids really comes in, because the world is telling them they're not good enough. They're watching all the social media that tells them they're not good enough or they don't have enough or whatever else. And at the end of the day, it's all about a perspective change. And I think that was the funniest part about the whole press conference is like, am I making sense right now? Scottie Scheffler says, and all the journalists are like, no, you're not, because the world has a hard time hearing that message.
Right. Yes. You know?
So I appreciate that whole, where is my identity? And as I think about kind of the practical application for our listeners today, and, you know, we've talked about a lot of, you know, really, really important stuff. So you think about those parents that are maybe like, hey, we're trying to establish a rhythm in our homes. We're trying to get into this space where we want to be really healthy with our kids. I don't know if there's a, maybe one or two kind of practical things that you feel like are, you know, good first steps or just things to remember as parents are really kind of maybe wrestling through this, like, what am I teaching my kids about stuff, about life? How do I make sure that I'm being intentional in that space?
Yeah. Honestly, I think it's simple. It starts with us as parents. Mm-hmm. You know, if we want to make a change for our family, we got to make a change for ourselves. Mm-hmm. So being in prayer with the Lord, you know, being in scripture, talking with fellow believers and share with them what you're wrestling through. If you've never given before, you know, that's a big thing.
It's a huge
step. That's a huge thing to learn. Mm-hmm. But it starts with trust. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's just trusting in the Lord to give him everything. Mm-hmm. All your cares, all your worries, all your celebrations.
Yeah.
There's nothing too big for the Lord. He already knows it.
Yeah.
But he needs you to understand that he already knows it. So I would start with that first. Mm-hmm. Grow stronger with your relationship with the Lord so that you're trusting. Mm-hmm. So you're walking that walk that you're trying to model for your children.
That's awesome.
Being in Bible study, serving. Let them see you serve others, you know. Share with them maybe that you're through your work going to help with, you know, like a People City mission, mission, Mount Talbot, you know, share with those experiences that you're having with them or you're hoping to have and model to them, but also give yourself grace.
Yeah.
And if you've never started, now is a good time, you know, walk with the Lord. And once you build that trust, those things will come, and then out of that will be giving, a giving spirit.
Yeah.
And your kids will see that, and they'll just think it's normal because that's what's happening at home.
You get to reset a new
normal. And when it doesn't, and you know, you could start giving and giving regularly, and all of a sudden there's something that's happening and you're not sure.
Yeah.
Pray about it.
Yeah.
It's amazing what God will do.
Cheers anyway, God. What do you want me to do?
Yeah, right. And there might be times where you're like, oh, I can't, I'll hold off on it. But then there might be times where you're just going to take a step in faith. And like you said before, there's freedom. And when we step over that ledge in faith, we are freed.
Amen.
And our spirit is freed, and our kids will understand that too. And then they'll know. And also too, just to remind them, that the world is going to say that their identity should be in all these earthly things, but it's not.
Yeah.
It's in earthly treasures and not earthly treasures, but heavenly treasures.
Yep.
And that, you know, no matter what happens, to remind them that you love them, but most importantly, that Christ loves them.
Yes.
And that will never, ever change. His promises are true. They'll never be broken. I think that's so important.
And you had shared with me ahead of time a scripture from Proverbs 3 that I think is just powerful in all this, that whole idea of trust. You might just share that verse.
I was looking at some verses today that might speak to me, but in really Proverbs 3 verses 5 through 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him, and he will make your path straight.
Yeah.
So that commotion, that storm in the world, knowing that God loves us and his promises are true, and that we take part in that heavenly treasure, that we will have peace in our storm.
And when we let go and let him, he's going to give us the path.
Yeah.
It's in front of us.
It is.
Sometimes it's hard to see.
It is.
Because everything else is kind of putting blinders on. But releasing that and saying, God, I need you. This is yours. It's yours anyway.
Yeah.
he makes that pass for you, which is powerful.
And there's days where it's going to be so hard and we're going to fail.
Yeah.
But God's okay with that.
Yeah.
He's going to pick us back up and say, it's okay.
Yeah.
Let's try again tomorrow.
Exactly. I'm a good example of that every day.
Yes, so. Me too. New mercies every morning is my mantra with everything.
Amen. So. Well, we end each show with a prayer. So I'm going to pray us out and just kind of leave that with our listeners, that idea of being able to step into that space to trust. So we'll do that now. Father God, I just thank and praise you for this opportunity today to talk about our children. Lord, anybody that's ever been blessed to be a parent, a grandparent, an aunt or uncle, or even a mentor to a young person, there's just that recognition that there's such a privilege and a humble opportunity to pour into to the littles, and really that continues throughout their lives. But just that chance to not only teach intentional lessons and skills, but Lord, to model a heart that you have intended for all of us, that heart of gratitude, a heart of thanksgiving, a heart of trust, but a heart of generosity and giving back and serving and just being somebody that has that spirit of encouragement and of abundance and really wanting to make the lives of those around them better. And so, Lord, I thank you in advance for how you're going to work in and through the lives of our listeners today as they navigate those opportunities to teach and mentor. And Lord, in advance, also think about those kids that we get the chance to teach. And Lord, that you'd be working in their hearts. And Lord, as was shared, kind of like on those airplanes, if, you know, those oxygen masks we got to put on first before we can put them on someone else, that challenge to invest in ourselves, invest in our hearts, the heart that you intend for us through our time in scripture and prayer and those types of things, Lord. When we invest in our hearts, it's an opportunity for us to invest in the hearts of those we love. So, Lord, we thank you. We praise you in advance for how you're going to work in and through our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Shannon, thank you so much for being with us today.
And
really appreciate this opportunity to just dig into this space. And for our listeners out there, I'm going to challenge you to start living.
Thank you for tuning in to Stop Chasing, Start Living. This has been a production of Messiah Lutheran Ministries. Make sure you subscribe to Messiah Lutheran on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen so you never miss an episode. Want to learn more about Messiah Ministries? Visit us at messiah.us. Our goal is to be a resource to you as you grow in your relationship with Christ and in your generosity. If you would like to connect with Scott, please send an email to scott.ernstmeyer@messiah.us. Thanks again for listening. Now let's start living.